Hello, friends, and welcome once again to the verse-by-verse Bible teaching of The Wash and Word. The Wash and Word is a hand car washing business located in Church Hill on Highway 11. We're in the Powell Shopping Center. My name is Matthew, and along with my wife, Victoria, we own and operate the Wash and Word hand car washing business. And we exist for one main reason, and that is to preach God's Word in verse-by-verse format. We do this by taking these teachings and airing them here on 1260 WMCH at 8:30 a.m. Monday through Friday. We also do this by taking these same messages and playing them weekly on a loop here in the parking lot of the Wash and Word. So if you come to the area here, if you get close enough to the Wash and Word, we transmit these sermons on 107.1 FM, and they transmit on a loop all day long while we are open. And so you can just swing by, turn on the radio to 107.1 FM, and you can hear this and other messages being broadcast over your FM dial. And finally, you can go to the washandword.com website. That's wash, the letter N, word.com. There you can listen to these messages and, of course, find out everything you want about the business. So we encourage you to come by. We're going to finish up John chapter 9 and maybe even get into chapter 10 a little bit today. We are going verse by verse through the Gospel of John, and we are smack dab in the middle of the entire chapter deals with the man who was blind. Jesus healed him. The Pharisees called him in. You know the story. They wanted to know who it was that healed him, and then they accused the man of not being blind, and, you know, his response, which we know one of the greatest responses in the entire Bible. One thing I do know, I was blind, but now I see. And that one scripture has kind of led this whole teaching of chapter 9 to a place of simplicity. And that's where I've been focusing on the last couple of messages, is that the simplicity of the gospel was never meant to be complicated. And as Christians with the indwelling Holy Spirit, we have all that it takes to not only understand God's Word, but we have all that it takes to present God's Word. And this is where many of us get hung up. And this man, this blind man, pretty much being a believer for an hour, schooled these men who have been, walking with God, I put in air quotes, their entire lives. And when he got done schooling them, they acted like a little child. And in verse 34, we read that you were steeped in sin. How dare you lecture us? And then they threw him out. Now, word gets back to Jesus about what they did to the man that Jesus healed. And so picking it up in chapter 9 of the Gospel of John, verse 35, we read, Jesus heard that they had thrown him out. And when he found him, he said, Do you believe in the Son of Man? Who is he, sir? The man asked. Tell me, so that I may believe in him. Jesus said, You have now seen him. In fact, he is the one speaking with you. And the man said, Lord, I believe. And he worshipped him. Jesus said, For judgment I have come into this world, so that the blind will see, and those who see will become blind. Some Pharisees who were with him heard him say this and asked, What, are we blind too? Jesus said, If you were blind, you would not be guilty of sin. But now that you claim you can see, your guilt remains. Let's stop right there. That's the end of chapter 9. And it kind of solidifies what we've been talking about the last couple of messages, that it's the man or the woman who trusts in their education, even if their education is a lifetime of learning and following the laws of religion, or if it was a lifetime of learning and following the theological aspects, and learning the Greek, and if you spend your entire life learning about something, and that is what you put your faith in, and that's what Jesus is saying, that you're actually the blind ones. It's this man with this childlike faith. He's not only can he see physically, but he can see spiritually. But I want to go back to what we read in the very first verse. It says that, or the first verse of our reading, verse 35, Jesus heard they thrown the man out, and it says, when he found him, Jesus said, do you believe in the Son of Man? And I focused, when I was studying this, I wanted to focus on the Jesus found him. And that implies that Jesus was looking for him. It didn't say Jesus stumbled across the man, or, you know, Jesus happened to meet up with him. No, Jesus found him because he was looking for him. And as I end chapter 9 during this teaching, I just want you to know something. Jesus is looking for you. If you're an unbeliever right now, Jesus has done everything to find you. And if you're a believer, he's still looking for you. He's looking in your life. He's looking in those dark corners, looking for those places that he could say, hey, come out of there. Hey, let this thing go. Hey, let me take over this part of your life. Let me tell you something. Nobody seeks Jesus. And you might take offense to that and say, well, I asked Jesus in my heart. I found him. I sought after truth. And yeah, I'm sure you did. And I do too. But the truth is, Jesus found us first. In Jeremiah 31:3, the Bible says, the Lord appeared to us in the past, saying, I have loved you with an everlasting love, and I have drawn you with loving kindness. In 1 John 4:19, it says, we love because what? He first loved us. We don't do anything first. It's because of what Jesus has done that we do something. Jesus goes looking under rocks for those who have crawled under them. He goes looking in the back alleys for the drunkards and the drug addicts. Jesus digs through trash dumpsters looking for the meth addict. He goes into the sewers looking for the heroin addict and the adulterer and the fornicator and the liar. Listen, if you don't like the image of your precious Jesus digging through trash dumpsters and walking through sewers and going into back alleys and picking up rocks, then you don't know your precious Jesus like you think you do. Because let me tell you something, for a lot of you out there listening to me, isn't that where he found you? And if it weren't for his desire to seek you in those disgusting places, if it wasn't for that, where do you think you would be? Listen, the most admirable thing that the blind man did was obey Jesus. Not witnessing for him, not even believing him in him, but worshiping him. It says that when he discovered who he was, he worshiped him. He obeyed him and he worshiped him. Romans 10:9-10 says that if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and you believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is with your heart that you believe that you are justified, and it is with your mouth that you confess and are saved. Listen, we talked about how simple belief is really what the gospel is. It's a simple gospel with a simple belief. But believing is one thing, and worshiping is another. So I encourage you today that even if you're a Christian already, start worshiping the Lord. I don't mean just going to church and singing songs. Take those dark, still, sewer-drenched areas of your life and turn them over to the Lord. Take those areas that you have a lock and key on, those areas where you've already given God permission to be all up in your life, but not there yet. Go to that place and give it back over to God. Let him do the work that only he can do. And there, one day, if we can do that, we can stand like this man and say, you know what? In this area of my life, I once was blind, and now I see. As we move on now to chapter 10, the subheading in my Bible on the top of chapter 10 says, the shepherd and his flock. And when we think of the shepherd, you know, we think of a man who is out there and a shepherd herds the flock together, but actually Jesus as the shepherd isn't the sheep herder. He doesn't herd us in, we're actually the sheep herders. We're the ones who are supposed to be herding other sheep into the fold or into the pen, as it were. And that's what these Pharisees were. They were his flock, but they were outside of the protection of the shepherd. These were the ones whose knowledge of doctrine superseded their ability to have an intimate relationship with Jesus. And what a sad place that would be, to have so much knowledge that we had no relationship. Let's look at verse 1 in chapter 10. Jesus says, "I tell you the truth, the man who does not enter the sheep pen by the gate, but rather climbs in by some other way, is a thief and a robber. The man who enters by the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. The watchman opens the gate for him, and the sheep listen to his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all of his own, he goes on ahead of them, and his sheep follow him because they know his voice. But they will never follow a stranger. In fact, they will run away from him because they do not recognize a stranger's voice." Let us stop right there. In that day and age, all the sheep flocks would be together, and they would be guarded by the watchmen. And then in the morning, each shepherd would call to their flocks, and by recognition of the voice, the flocks would follow the shepherd. And they wouldn't go to a stranger's voice. They would only go to the voice that they recognized. And today, there are many false shepherds, and they have come and they have gone, but some still exist. And unfortunately, they have many flocks who listen to them and follow them as well. You know, today we ask the question, who is the true Jesus? Who is the true shepherd of the sheep? Because sadly, there are a lot of Jesuses out there. What I mean by that is there is the Jesus of the Moonies. There is the Jesus of the Jehovah's Witnesses. There's the Jesus of Scientologists and the Jesus of Mormons. There's the Jesus of Christian Scientists, etc., etc. Which Jesus is the true Jesus, the true shepherd? Well, here, Jesus tells us how to know. Would the real shepherd please stand up? And we're going to close by looking at three identifying marks of the true shepherd. The first one, according to Jesus, we find in verse 1, the true shepherd enters through the gate. Raise your hand if you snuck into church through a window or the back door. Probably not, right? You went through the natural entrance, which is the front door. You know, the Old Testament prophets predicted every aspect of our Lord's coming, the way he would come, the time he would come, the place he would come, and the purpose of his coming. They predicted everything. And Jesus is saying that he came into the world the normal way, just as predicted. It was miraculous, yes, but it was normal. And so the first mark is that they come through the gate. The second mark of the true Jesus is verse 3, the gatekeeper opens the door. Now there are several interpretations of the gatekeeper, but the gatekeeper had the whole pen under his care, and Jesus, he was the only one who received a seal of approval from God when he was baptized, and the dove landed on him, and the voice opened up and said, "This is my son, whom I am well pleased." So only the gatekeeper can open the door. And thirdly, not only can only the gatekeeper open the door, and not only do we enter through the gate, but the sheep hear and respond. And we see that in verse 4. Jesus always met people, and he still does, on a personal level. We've seen this with Nicodemus so far in the Gospel of John. We've seen this with the woman at the well. We've seen it with the blind man. We've seen it with the man who was lame. He even called to Zacchaeus, said, "Come down here, you crazy little monkey." And he went to Matthew's house. And, you know, we read that in the Gospel. So Jesus had a way of hearing and responding. We have a way of hearing and responding. He is the true shepherd of his true flock. And as we continue through chapter 10, we're going to take a closer look at the false doctrines and the false teachers, because that, my friends, is the main reason I believe I've been called to teach verse by verse Bible, to not only bring forth the light of Christ, but to expose the ways of the darkness. And friends, it is dark out there. So turn on your light, go forward, and be that light to somebody else out there. Until then, hope you join us at the Washing Word. Come get your car washed or go to washingword.com for all the information. Have a blessed day.